Yevamos from Perek Yud Beis, Daf Kuf Aleph from Ral Perek Mitzvus Chalitza. The Chumash has the dinim that if someone is married and he dies leaving no children from this wife or from any other wife or from any girlfriend, if there are no children, so then the Chatchil is preferable to do Yibum. That if he has a brother, the surviving brother should marry the Yevama. The second best is that he should do chalitza. If he doesn't want to do yidden, then you do chalitza. But really preferable is that's a mishnah and chayrus, a mitzvah yibum kodemus and mitzvah chalitza. That's the simple way of reading the pasuk and chumash. In fact, the mafarshim and chumash, the rishonim say, why you should take off his shoe? Just like when a person is in chayram or nidui, when a person is in avelus. When a relative dies, a person is in avelus, so one of the dinim is you have to take off your shoes. So if a person is in cherem or nidui, so he has to observe avelus for himself. So he has to take off his shoes. So the Mefarsh Machumish interpret, the reason why she takes off his shoe is to demonstrate you did an avla gedoyla, you should have done yibum and you didn't do yibum, so you deserve to be a nidui. But the din is that once you do the chalitza, so then she's materisli nasi lashuk, then she's allowed to marry. So on the level of the raisa, the chumash reads very clearly, like the Mishnah Chora says, that mitzvahs yibum koydamus l'mitzvahs chalitza. But in the days of the Tanoim, the Gemara quotes on Lamites on the Amud Beis, I think. In the middle of Daf Lamed Tes on the days, about one third of the way down, so the line begins with the word Tanan Hossam. And they're quoting a Mishnah in Chorus, it says Chorus Daf Yud Gimel. Tanan Hossam, Mitzvah Sibin Kaidemis, and Mitzvah Chalitza. What's it doing in Chorus? Why shouldn't it be a Mishnah in Yevamos? The answer is, in Chorus, you also have Petach Hamor, Tifte Beser, and Loi Sifte Barafto. So more correct is you should be paid the bissa and give the set to the kohen. That's one of the 24 matnas kunim. If he's a cheap fellow, he doesn't want to do pinyan petach hamor, then you do arifa. So the Mishnah says there, mitzvahs pidiyo kedemis le mitzvahs arifa. Then it says also a couple of other things, what's kohen to what. So it mentions that mitzvahs yidin kedemis le mitzvahs chalitza has a series of mitzvahs where the Torah gives you a choice either to do A or B. The more correct is to do A, the second best is to do B. So it says in the Mishnah, mitzvah sin kadamis and tchalitza, and then it spells out this is berishon in the earlier generation, shayim miskafen and l'shem mitzvah, that a man would marry his sister-in-law, l'shem shamayim, l'shem mitzvah, achshav. In the later generations, we assume that ziridus ador, l'shem miskafenim, the Shemitz, so we're concerned that many people will marry their sister-in-law because they have a crush on them. I always thought my brother's wife is very good-looking, and now that unfortunately my brother passed away, so now I can marry her. So he's marrying her, not the Shemitz, he's marrying her the Shem Ishus, the Shem Yofi. She's rich, or she comes from a Miuchas Digger family. He's marrying her for some other purpose. So then Abishol comes up with this chumrah. The Tana Abishol comes up with the chumrah. The Gemara has it later. Abishol Oimer, it is a line later, about 13 lines from the bottom. The line begins with the word Shaul. The previous line begins Abba, and the next line begins Shaul. Abishol Oimer, Akoina says he went to L'shem Noi. He only does the Yibum because she's good looking. If she wouldn't be good looking, he would not marry her. Or L'shem Ishus means he couldn't get, no one else wanted to marry him, so now this girl is stuck. She has to marry him. Or L'shem Dover Acher, or because she's from a Miuchas Digger family, because she's very rich, for some other reason. He's not doing Yibum. Whenever you do Yibum, you should really be in violation of an Issur Koris, of Eshesach. Torah says you're not allowed to marry Eshesach. So the Makam Yibum is Mutter. That's only Mutter if you do the mitzvah Lishma. If you do the mitzvah of Yibum Shalom Lishma, then it's not Doicha the Issur of Eshesach. That's what he says, Abishol Omer. If he marries her, not Lishem Mitzvah, Kiluk Pogeva Erva. I consider it as if he's in violation of the Isser Eshesach, the Korav Ani B'yena Elias Avlad Mamzer, that someone who lives with his sister-in-law is one of the Chari Krisis, so it's going, the Vlad is going to be a Mamzer. So it's only Mutter if he does the Yibum Lishma. If he doesn't do Lishma, then it's not Mutter. That's what Abba Shaul says. Yeah. The Rishonim say it's only Midirabban. It's not Minatur. Abba Shaul is exaggerating. He says the whole thing is only Midirabban. The Chachamim disagree even on the level of Rabban. You don't have to be Baaleho Lishma. You can be Baaleho Shaloh Lishma. It's Hutra. We have sometimes a conflict between two different mitzvahs. So sometimes the halacha says that when the mitzvah is in conflict with an avera, that we say the avera, the mitzvah is doicha the avera. And sometimes not that the mitzvah is doicha the avera, that the makom mitzvah is hutra het gomer. What's the difference? What the hutra, the chuya, the gemara has the famous sugya in the first perik in Yuma and Dav Zayin. So Gemara has a machlekes amaraim, then it turns out to be a machlekes atanaim, where the tumah, if you bring a korban tzibur, bitumah, so it's mutter. So the Gemara has a machlekes, is it mutter het gomer, tumah hutra bit tzibur? Or do you say, no, tumah duchuy bit tzibur? What's the difference? What is duchuy or hutra? Gemara said the difference is if it's efshe lekaim shneim. The only time, let's say, eser decha lo sesei. Eser decha lo sesei, the loshen is decha. When you have a conflict between a mitzvah and an avera, the only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by violating an avera. So there, in some cases, not in every single case, some case we say, eser decha lo sesei. So the Gemara says, but because the loshen is eser decha lo sesei, it's decha, it's not that b'mokem eser. The loisesi was never formulated. It's not that it's hutra, it's duchuya. Therefore, Amar Esh Lokish, so the Gemara quotes the memory of Esh Lokish, kol machim shatamotze esev loisesi, whenever there's a conflict, imat yochel lekaim eshnei mutav. If you can be mekam the mitzvah without violating the avera, so do so. If it's eefshel lekaim shneim, then you say yovo esev yitchel loisesi. Then you say esev dechel loisesi. So if tuma is duchuya b'tzibor, then hutra is duchuya, the Rama paskins tuma duchuya b'tzibur. So one of the nafkaminis is this. Let's say the Kohanim were divided into 24 mishmaras, and every week a different mishmar of Kohanim, different families would come to Yerushalayim, those who could take off from work, and there would be makor karbonos based on Migdash. And then the next week a different group, next week a different group, and 24 weeks later the same group would come again twice a year, and some of them would be three times a year, every 24 weeks. So, and then the Kohanim were divided within the Mishmar, they were divided into six Bati Yovas. On Sunday there was one Beis Av, Monday another Beis Av. Different branches of the family had the responsibility to be marked with the Karbonos on Sunday of their week of the Mishmar, others had on Monday, and so on. On Shabbos, most of the people wanted to go home. So on Shabbos, all the Bati Yovas, whoever remained behind in Yerushalayim, so all of them would be marked with the Karbonos. The Gemara says, what if one day, let's say Sunday, all the Kohanim are Tomei, from Sunday's Beis Av all the Kohanim are Tomei. But there are Kohanim from Monday, from Tuesdays. It doesn't have to be Dafka, that Beis Av, you can get, it's Efshe Lekaim Shneim. So the Gemara says, if you hold that Tuma the way we pass, the way the Rama pass, the Tuma, the Chuyah B'Tzibur. The mitzvah of Hakrobas Karbonas Tzibur is so important, it's Doicha the Iser of being Makrim Karbonas in the state of Tuma. So it's only doicha if it's Yepsha Lekhaim Shnei. If you can get Kohanim from another Beis Av, from the same Mishma, but from a different Beis Av, so do so. So don't be marked with the Karbonos in the state of Tumah. But if the din would have been like the other Tana, like the other Amor, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, means B'Makom Karbonos Tzibur, the whole prohibition of Tumah was never formulated. So even if it's Yepsha Lekhaim Shnei, it's okay. That's one of community Gemara has. So that's a Shaila. In many different cases, let's say pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, so you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. So the last Rosh and Yuma talks about it. Whether pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos or no, but makom sakanas nefashes, all the dinim don't apply, the laws of Shabbos don't apply, and so on. Afkamin is, let's say, the fellow has to go to the hospital on Shabbos, and the next door neighbor is a goy. Should he ask the goy to drive the person? You can get a goyish taxi service. Or the husband can drive his wife to the hospital. So if it's hutra, pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos were never given at all, is hutra heta gomor, so you don't even have to try to avoid the chilul Shabbos. Shabbos says hutra b'makom pikach nefesh. But if you say that it's only duchuyas, it's only doicha, if it's eifshel lekayim shet, if you can't take care of the pikach nefesh, v'taklim machal Shabbos, and then the pikach nefesh is doicha, the isa Shabbos. But if it's eifshel lekayim shet, so then it's not doicha. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, mechaben Ramah, whether pikach nefesh on Shabbos hutra duchuyas. So over here is also a discussion. What's the din? That if my brother dies, it happened that I never had a brother. Let's say if I had a brother, and my brother dies and he leaves no children, so I'm supposed to do Yibum, but what's happened to the Yisr Eishesach? It is the curse of Eishesach. So you can say that Yibum is Doicha, the Yisr Eishesach, or you can say it's not Doicha. The B'mokam Mitzvah's Yibum, the whole din of Eishesach was never formulated at all. So one Nafkamina will be, do I have to do the Yibum Lishma? If you say that it's similar, it's not identical with the din of Esav Dechal Esesi. Usually, Esav Dechal Esesi, Esesi is never Dechal Esesi Sheish Bokoris. Eshet Sach has an Esav Koris on it. So you can't say it's the regular, normal din, the standard din of Esav Dechal Esesi. It's a special application of Esav Dechal Esesi. So that's the Shaila, whether B'mokam Yibum, we allow the brother that married the Yivama, despite the fact that there's an Issa Koris, is that because the mitzvah of Yibum is Doicha the Avera of Eshesach? No, but Maka Mitzvah Yibum, the whole Issa of Eshesach was never formulated in Hutra. So the Pashtus and all the Gemara says that it's Hutra. Pashtus on Gemara is Hutra Hete Gomer. The Gemara has earlier, the Gemara has, let's say, my brother happened to be married to a Mamzeris. So that's an Issa. So then, I'm not allowed to. My brother was married by Yisra. Kiddush and Atosim. My brother was married by Yisra. The Gemara has. So on Daf Chof and Aleph, the Mishnah has. If my brother was married to a Chai Belavin, let's say my brother was married to a Grusha and I'm a Kohen. If my brother is also a Kohen, okay. It could be that he's my brother and I'm a Kohen, he's not a Kohen. Let's say. My brother depends, we have the same father, we don't have to necessarily have the same mother. So let's say a Kohen marries a Isha Kshera, so I'm a Kohen. Then my father had another wife who was a Grusha, a Surla Kohen, so all of the children from the other wife will be Chalolim. So a Cholol, Cholol means empty vacuum, empty. A Cholol is emptied out from Kedusha's Kun, and the Cholol is permitted to go to the cemetery, and he's allowed to marry a grusha. He doesn't have any of the dinim of kohen at all. So let's say my brother who died was a cholol, and he's my half brother, and I'm a kohen. So he was married to a grusha. So, but I'm not. I have an issa. I'm not allowed to marry a grusha. So the Gemara says on Daf Chav that min haTorah you should really say eser dechalei sesei. I should be mechuyev to do yibum because the esei of yibum is dechal dechalei sesei. Of Grusha Lekoyim.
Rishayna.
Huh? But the Gemara says there'll only be Mutter, be Rishayna. So then the Gemara says they made Gzera on Chof on the base. The Gemara says the Tanoi made Gzera be Rishayna, Hatu be Yishnir. That's how the Gemara, they made Gzera the Rabban. Because the mitzvah of Yibum is only fulfilled by the Bir Rishayna. When he continues to live with the Yivama later on, that's no longer the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, if my brother's wife, if the Yivama, if the Almana is a Grusha and I'm a Kohen, so when I'm only allowed to do Bir Rishayna, that's a Dechal Esesei, and I'm not allowed to do Bir Shnir. So in the Rabbanah, when I'm Torah, I should do Bir Rishayna. In the Rabbanah, they prohibited it because Exeret Bir Rishayna or to Bir Shnir. But if he's going to do Biyashnir, so why are you ever allowed, Taisa says, so why are you ever allowed to be Miyabim and Yivama? If it says a Dechaloi Sesei, so the mitzvah is fulfilled in the Birishayna, so how can the Yavam continue to live with the Yivama? He does the Birishayna. We should tell him now he has to divorce her. The answer is because by the Yavam, when it's only an Iser, Eshesach, it's not that she also is a Mamzeris, or she's also a Grusha Lekoyim. It's only Eshesach. So Eshesach, that's Hutra. That's the din of Hutra. So there's a din whenever a couple gets married, and at the time that they got married, it was Heta Gomor, so then the rest of the marriage is Mutra. So by Yibum, the mitzvah is the Bir Rishayna, and it was Heter Gam, it was Hutra. It's not based on Dechuya. So whenever the marriage began the Heter, that's what the Gemara calls all the Ishtarya Ishtarya, the beginning of an Ishus. So the woman becomes Muteres Lebailo, so she remains Muteres forever. There's a Mishnah in Yevamos. There's a Mishnah in Yevamos here. And Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. A Kohen is permitted to marry an Almona. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almona. But Kohen Hedyot is permitted to marry an Almona. So let's say a Kohen, a 25-year-old Kohen, he marries an Almona, it's Heter Gomer. And then when he reaches the age of 55, the Kohen Gadol dies, and he's the best candidate. They want to appoint him to be the Kohen Gadol. So now that he becomes the Kohen Gadol, he has to divorce his wife, because he's not allowed to be married to an Almona. So the Mishnah says that's unreasonable. So that's the top Mishnah. There are three Mishnahs there. So the first Mishnah, Tzamach Alf Manam, says, Eris says, so Amon, a coin had yod, made Eris, and he didn't even do any suit. Just gave him a ring, and he said, Hare Emekadeshesli. He marries an Amon, and then he's appointed to become the Kohen Gadol. Yichnos, he's permitted to do the Nisuin. It's at the Gomer. So the Gemara explains why. Well, the Ishtar, since at the beginning of the issues, it was Heter Gomer. It wasn't based on Eser Dechol Eses. It was Heter Gomer. So that's the din. Whenever an Isha starts off the Heter Gomer, it remains Mutter. She can't become Asura later on. So that's every case of Yibum is like that. We assume that it's not based on Eser Dechol Eses, that the mitzvah of Yibum is Deicha Dechol Eses of Eshesach. It's not Bechel El Sese. But Makam Yibum, it's Hutra Heter Gomer. So even though the mitzvah is only by the Bir Rishayna, but Hol Bishtari Yishtari, since the beginning of the marriage, it was Beheter Gomer, so it remains Beheter Gomer. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, Rashi on Chumash, on Parshas Yisro, on Aseres HaDibrois, so Rashi points out that in Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, from the Tanoim, that the Aseres HaDibrois appear in Parshas Yisro, then appears again in Parshas Vaschana. So there are a few discrepancies between them, but the Tanaim, we're only concerned about one major discrepancy. How come in one of the two sources it says Zohar Siyam Shabbos V'Katsha, and the other one it says Shomer Siyam Shabbos V'Katsha? So which is it? So the Gemara says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibrois on Shavuot, Zohar V'Shomer B'Dibur Echad Nemru, he said both simultaneously. What did he need that stunt for? L'may nafkamina? What did he gain by doing? Masha'in ha'peh yichol l'daber v'lo ha'os and yichol l'dishmaya. Usually, trei koli lo mishtami. You can't hear Zoch v'shamar if two people are saying. Usually, a person can't say two things at the same time. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a moifes. Masha'in ha'peh yichol l'daber v'lo ha'os and yichol l'dishmaya. So, he said Zoch v'shamar b'dibrech. What was accomplished? So, the Gemara says that's considered like a hekesh. Usually a hekesh means if you have one pasuk and there are two dinim in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection between the two. If you have two psukim one next to the other, that's smuchim. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. That's taka b'digin and yevamos. That's a machlokes hatanaim, and we really accept the opinion that you only darshan smuchim in chumash dvarim. The Gemara gives different reasons why. There are many, 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 many famous halachas that are based on smuchim in chumash dvarim, one pasuk next to the other. But it's if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. So a hekesh is if you have two dinim, one din in the first half of the pasuk, one din in the second half of the pasuk. What if you have two dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed simultaneously? Not the one in the first half of the pasuk, one in the second half. They're both in the first half of the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed Zoch v'shamer b'dibur echad, he said both b'vasach. So that's for sure a hekesh. So the Gemara says, Zoch v'shamar is a hekesh. Zoch means you have to recite Kiddush, lahazakir, to mention Kedusha Sayyam. And Shamar means you have to be Shamar Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malocha. So not allowed to do malocha, that's a lois essay, Shahazman Groma. So lois essay, Ish Vakos of Ish Lish, Lacholonch and Shabbatur. The women are mechuyev to observe all the lavim, even if the lav, even if the lois essay happens to be a Zman Groma. But the Zohar to recite Kiddush, that should really be a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama, nashim should have been pater. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, Kiddush is one of the exceptions to the rule. There are quite a few exceptions to the rule. The Rambam writes in one place there are more exceptions to the rule than mitzvahs that are covered by the rule. Women are parted from tzitzis and tefillin and lulav and sukkah, but not too much more. And there are quite a few mitzvahs, as man rama, matzah is an exception to the rule. Hakel is an exception. So the Rambam writes in one place in the Pirush HaMishnah that there are more exceptions to the rule than there are cases that are governed by the rule. So the Gemara says, how do you know women, nashim chayavis b'kiddush hayom dvar Torah? How do you know women are mechuyev in kiddush despite the fact that it's really a mitzvah saseh shas magrama? So the Gemara said, because it's a hekesh, zoch v'shamer v'dibarech ha-nemru. So therefore they're hookish to each other. So therefore, just like the women are muzah, not to do meloch and Shabbos, that's a loises shas magrama. So the women are mechuyev to recite kiddush as well. So that's from the Gemara. The Gemara has that. But Rashi quotes from the Mechilta. Rashi on Parshas Yisro on the Aseres Adibras on the Pasuk Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekatshai. So Rashi quotes a whole straight statement from the Mechilta that has more than the Gemara. So the Mechilta says, and so too tzitzis in Shaknes, and so too Yivamo Yavo Leho in Eshesach. What does he mean by that? That's he's quoting the Tanaim. What does it mean that Yevamu Yavaleha and Yisr Eshesach were given B'dibur Echad and Tzitzis and Shatans were given B'dibur Echad? So Avsalechik thought that that's what the Mechilta Rashi, that's what Rashi is quoting from the Tanoi, from the Mechilta. The Gemara doesn't have it, but the Mechilta has it, that B'mokam Yibum, it's not that the mitzvah of Yibum is Doicha Aveira of Eshesach. It's Hutra. B'mokam Yibum, there's no Yisr at all. And the same thing when you have tzitzis and you want to put in, if the beged is made from linen and when you want to put in tzitzis, so the tchelis has to be a certain color, certain dye from a certain animal, and has to be, the strings have to be wool. The din is that if you dye a linen strings with tchelis, you're not yotzei in the mitzvah of tchelis, it has to be dafka wool. So if you're going to put a woolen string of tchelis into a beged of Pishtim, a beged of linen, that's going to be shatnas, it's going to tie a knot. Beged Keshav Elyon is the rice, it's going to be shatnas. So that's a question in Tesis and Menachos and Peragat Chelis, but the shatnas in Chelis and Tzitzis, is that Esedecha Loisese or is that Hutra? So Rabbeinu Tam, Tesis quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that is Hutra, and it has a whole Nafkamina Ledina. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what Rashi is quoting from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, that Klayim in tzitzis is b'dibrech and emru. What do you mean b'dibrech? Just say esedach alasese. Every case of esedach alasese is b'dibrech. Said no, when it's hutra it's b'dibrech. Means when the prohibition of shatans was given and never applied in the first place to a beged shall tzitzis. We have tzitzis with chelis, there's no issue. The same over here by Yivama Yavo Aleha. Pashtus is that it's not based on doicha. It's not that the mitzvah of Yibam is doicha de aveira de eshesach. If the Yivama happens to be a mamzeres or a grusha and I'm a koyin, so there's an iser in addition to the iser eshesach. There's an iser mamzeres. There's an iser grusha the koyin. So that's not hutra. That's duchuya. So that's only duchuya bir rishayna. And really, Menat Torah should say esa dochla says it bir rishayna. Then he has to divorce her. So then with the Rabbanan, they made Gzeret be Rishon, not to be a Shnia. That's the Mishnah Chofam and Aleph, and the explanation of Chofam and Beis. Gzeret be Rishon, not to be a Shnia. But if she's not the Chavi Lavin, it's just a plain Eshesach, so then you don't say that the mitzvah of Yibum is Doicha the Isser of Eshesach. You say it's Hutra. The Mokam Yibum, the whole prohibition of Eshesach, doesn't apply at all. So the Pashtus is, if it would have been Esei Deicha Loisesei, so it's only Deicha if you do it Lishmo. But if it's not Deicha, it's Hutra, so that you don't have to have any Lishmo. There's a Mishnah in the end of Ksubas, a famous Mishnah in the end of Ksubas, that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah has, there's a couple who are married, and the husband decides he wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. The wife says, what are you talking about? All the children, all the grandchildren, all of our siblings, everybody lives in Chutz Lartz. She doesn't want to go alone. So the Mishnah says that whoever says, either the husband or the wife, whoever says, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael, has the gerecht to taina. The one who wants to stay in Chutz Lartz is wrong. So, okay, so if the husband insists he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, gives his wife a get, if he's such a big Zionist, he gives his wife a get, and he doesn't have to pay ksuba, because she's at fault for ruining the marriage. What do you mean she's at fault? He's a mishugah. They lived in America for the last 52 years. And he decides he wants to move, and all the members of the family, everybody lives in America. What's he moving to Eretz? No. He has the gerecht to taina. So therefore, if he divorces her, it's her fault, because she doesn't want to go along, so he doesn't have to pay her ksuba. So Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva where there was a man, Shlomo Kluger lived in Europe, in Galicia. So there was a man, he wasn't a Zionist, a man, he never succeeded in Parnassus. He had one job, not a job, he never succeeded. But somebody had the mindset that if he moves to Palestine, he'll be able to make a Parnassus. He said, okay, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. So the wife said, what are you, crazy? The whole family lives in Galicia. Nobody lives in Eretz Yisrael. He says, I'm going to divorce you. I'm not going to pay you the ksuba. So they went to Rav Shlomo Kluger. So he said, no, you divorce her, you don't pay ksuba. You're doing an avera to divorce your wife. The Gemara says, it's considered an avera to divorce your wife. So it's only mutter if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, the shame mitzvah. If you're a Zionist, if I rent a Zionist, you want to fulfill a mitzvah. He wasn't interested in going to Eretz Yisrael to fulfill a mitzvah. He never was successful in Parnassa. And they said, if you go to Palestine, you probably will be successful. He wanted to go because of Parnassa, not because of the mitzvah. So he says, then you have no right. Then you have no head to divorce your wife and not pay the ksuba. The husband is wrong over there. So that's what Abishol says over here. And I'm a test on the base. Abishol came up. The Rishonim said, Yosef says, we assume it's only Midirabbanan. Most assume Abishol's din is only Midirabbanan. Abishol came up with a chiddush. We consider Yibum is Mata the Isser Reish Esach as if it's Etzed Dechal Oseh. The regular Etzed Dechal Oseh can't be, because the Gemara says in the beginning of Yibum is Ein Etzed Dechal Oseh Sheesh Bo Koris. Reish Esach has Koris. So it's a special form of Etzed Dechal Oseh. So the truth of the matter is, behold, it's not based on Decha, it's Hutra, it's Etzed Gomer, and therefore you don't have to have Kavona L'Shem Shemayim. Even if you're only doing the Yibum because she's very good looking, because she's very wealthy, because she's from a Miyuchas Dika family, for some other reason, it's also a Hetter Gomer Sutra. So Abishol came up with a Chumer Midi Rabbanan. We treat every case of Yibum as if it's really based on Dechiyah, as if the essay of Yibum is Dechah the Avera of Eish Esach. And it's only Dechah, a mitzvah, it's only Dechah and Yisrael if you're doing the mitzvah the Shem Shammai. If you're not doing Lishma, that's the Loshen HaGemor. It's laid on your bones. Where is it? Gedola HaGemor has an Adin. Gedola Avera Lishma. Yoel Esh is Chaver Akeni. How did she succeed in killing Sisera? Sisera was Satzwa Melech Yobin. He was the general of the Goyish army. And there was a war going on with the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. So she succeeded in putting him to sleep by being Mezana with him. And she was an Esh Esish. So she was Mezana. The din usually is that pikuach nefesh is not derecha gili arayis, but zohar gila rashi chazdan pikuach nefesh not derecha. But this was considered hatzolas kol Yisrael. So hatzolas kol Yisrael, you are allowed to. So the Gemara says, Gemara comments on the pasuk, Basher karash sham shachav shadur. It says a few times that she had beer with him, and then he became tired, he fell asleep, and then she chopped off his head, then she killed him. So the Gemara says she's Yoel Eshes Chevrakeni deserves praise like Sari Rivka Rachav Aleya. Why? Because Gedola Avera Lishma Ke Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. The Imahis lived with the others. They were Moilet. They were raising Yud Beishvatim. They were doing it Shalom Lishma. Turned out that they raised the whole Klal Yisrael, the Yud Beishvatim, but they didn't do it B'Shem Shemayim. They were with their husband. And Yoel Eshes Chevrakeni did an Avera. She violated she was an Eshes Ish. Shezinsa. She did an Avera, but Kedol Avera Lishma, Ke Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. Also Gevalik. So the Gemara asked Akasha, Vokam Mishayim Avera, but she got Hanoe when she was a Mizana with Sisera. Didn't she get Hanoe? So what's the Kasha she got Hanoe? So Tosa explains, it's not Avera Lishma. Avera Lishma means you don't get any Hano, you're only doing it for Shem Shammai. Marian says, no, she didn't get any Hano. Go to Basim Sholosharim, Rohi Eitzel Tzadikim, she didn't get any Hano. So there's a concept of Avera Lishma. We rarely apply it, but sometimes it's Mutta. So So that's what Abishol holds. Abishol holds over here, mid the Rabbanon, we treat every case of Yibum as if the mitzvah of Yibum is Deicha the Iser of Eshesach. So it's like a concept of Avera, Gedol Avera Lishma. I'm doing an Avera, and the Avera is, under these circumstances, is Mutter, but then it's only Mutter. If you do Lishma, if you don't do the Shem Shemaim, it's not Mutter. That's what he says. If you do Yibum, Shem Dover Acher, so then Korab Bein Elias Avlad Mamzer, and Kilo Pagel Bi'Ervo, it's Midirabon. And the Chachamah disagreed. Chacham said, no, there is no such Chumer Midirabon on the level of the Reis and level of Rabbanon, that Yibum B'maka Mitzvah is Hutra, Heta Gomer, you don't have to do it L'Shem Shemaim, it's Mutar, even if you do Shalom L'Shma. So that's what the Gemara says in different Kufas. How do you paskin when you have a Machlekes? So you paskin based on the consensus. You take a vote. So in different generations, the vote changed. You have sometimes in the Gemara, you have Mishnah Rishoina and Mishnah Achreina. They reversed the Psak. There are certain issues that during my lifetime, the Psak changed. Psak, at the beginning of this, I was born in the middle of the Second World War. So in the 1940s, the Psak on the Kubla was one way. And then 30 years later, the general consensus by the Rabbanim changed. There are certain halachas where the consensus changed. That's called Mishnah 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 Achreina, Bez Mishnah Achreim Amru. So the Gemara says here, at different Kufis, the Psak was different. For many generations, there was no such din that you needed L'Shem Shemaim. So everybody was doing Yibum. Then Abishol came up, and there was a period of time that they paskan like Abishol. Then the question is, did they reverse it back again or not? So that's, there's a Tesis there on Lamed Tes on the days. There's a Tesis, they quote the Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan claims that the Psak is like Abishol. The Psak remains like Abishol, that we don't trust anybody today in our generation that they're doing Yibum L'Shem Shemaim, so we're afraid they're doing Shalom L'Shma, L'Shem Noi, L'Shem Money, L'Shem Yichus, whatever, so we don't permit anybody to do Yibum. And the Sfaradish poskim have a tradition that it's not so, that the Psak remains like the Chachamim, that you are permitted to do Yibum. So for many generations, by the Sfaradim they did Yibum. Right after Hakamas HaMedina, so they wanted to establish a Rabbanut. So, but to have half the population there, it's all Sfaradim, half are Ashkenazim. So half of them are going to do Yibum, half of them are not going to let them do Yibum. So what are they going to do? So they had all the Rabbanim sign a Heskei. They all made an agreement, all the Sfaradish Rabbanim signed, they're all agreeing to follow the Psak of the Ashkenazim, that you're not allowed to do Yibum. So that was for quite a few years. And then Chacham Ovadia, before he became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Egypt, so he wasn't bound by the Israeli politics. So he wrote a tshuva that the Heskeim ein lo tokef. The Sfaradish Rabbanim had no right to sign away that they're not going to do Yibum. What do you mean? The Psak HaMakul by the Sfaradim for centuries was a mitzvah Yibum Kedemes l'mitzvah Chalitza. What right did they have to change the Psak? I don't know what they do now in Eretz Yisrael, but there was a period of time that even after Hakamas HaMedina, that people would still disfrag him and still practice Yibum. So that's what today, by Ashkenazim, that's the Psak HaMakubal. The mitzvah Chalitza Kodemis L'mitzvah Yibum. Do we ever allow Yibum? Do we ever allow Yibum? I remember Rav Soloveitchik once told us when we were learning Yibumas. He said he once had a case. The Yavam had both legs amputated. So he can't do chalitza. She has to take off the shoe from his foot. He has no feet. So he didn't know what he's supposed to do. He said, he called Rab Chaim Heller. Rab Chaim Heller knew all the Achrayim. He said, Rab Chaim Heller rattled off a few tshuvas and Achrayim. They all say the same thing. If he's unable to do chalitza, then you have him do Yibum and he should divorce her right away. He should give her a get. So that's what he did. So that's Lamaisa, that's our practice by Ashkenazim. Yeah, why is it called Mitzvah Chalitza? Mitzvah Chalitza. So there's a Tosfos in the end of Nida. What Tosfos points out, does it make sense to have a din, L'chatchila, you're not allowed to do this, but yeah, but it's Mutta. Let's say you have a Trefa Kli, that hasn't been used in 24 hours for treifas. So min ha-Torah, if the pot hasn't been used in the last 24 hours for treifa food, you're permitted to cook kosher food in, because the bliya that'll go into the vegetable soup is going to be called nosen tam levgam. Nosen tam levgam doesn't make treif. But with the Rabbanah, they made gzeira, but you're going to put a sticker on every pot. This was used for treifas at 9 o'clock at night on Monday. And then on the other one, you're going to write this, you use some fleishiks at this time. What are you going to do if the stickers fall off and you get mixed up? So you're not going to remember which pot is fleishik, which is milzik, which is treif. I cook treif the food for the goyish workers, work in the house. So if you leave it on the din deraisa, that any kli that's ain't been yom, hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, doesn't make treif, there's going to be a lot of confusion. So they made exam in the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to cook in a treif a pot unless you kasher it. Even after 24 hours, you have to kasher. But the yevet, if you did cook, so it doesn't make treif. But the yevet, if you cook kosher food in the pot, bottom line, it's nice and tam levgam, so it doesn't make awesome. So you have a din that lachatchil, it's awesome, but the yevet, it's mutter. So that's a din mid the Rabbanon. Yeah, Mishnah and Gittin, Lachatrila, the get should have been written like this, but with the Ebed, if you wrote it like that, but the Ebed, it's also good. So Tosis writes in the end of Nida, that's a dead giveaway that all those dinam are only in the Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa, there is no such thing that Lachatrila, it's awesome, but the Ebed, it's muta. What you do have on the level of the Raisa, you have in the mitzvah sesa, you have there's a mitzvah bishlei musa. If you wear tzitzis, trelas with love on, that's a mitzvah bishlei musa. But if you only have chelis without love, and they only have love without chelis, you mekayim a mitzvah shalav bishlay musa. You bring a korban chatos to the Beis Hamikdash lachatchila. The mitzvah bishlay musa is to do a zrika on all arba kamfas karnas hamizbeach, on all four kronas. And if you only did a zrika on one karen, and then the dam spilled, and you can't do any more. So b'di'evad the korban chatos is kosher. You mekayim a mitzvah shalav bishlay musa. So you can have a lachatchila in b'di'evad on the level of the raisa in a mitzvah, but you can't have it in a nisr. And nisr, if it's muta b'di'evad, it's muta lachatchila. You only have it on the level of the rabbanon. Lachatchila, it's aser, and b'di'evad, it's muta. So Tosis points out there at the end of Nida on Samach Vav and Mebesa. So Tosis points out there chalitza is called mitzvahs chalitza. Why? It's not just a matter, it's a mitzvah. How do you see? Because there are three parts to chalitza. You have kriya, you have kriyas apsukim. She says, mein yivam il hokim shein li yochim, lo yovoy, and he says, lo chepatzi lekachta. And then, after he finishes the chalitza, then she says, kocha li yosavish, asher lo yiv des beisochim. So you have kriyas apsukim back and forth. And then you have chalitza taking off the shoe. Then you have rikika. She spits on the floor in front of him. She doesn't spit on him. She spits on the floor in front of him. You deserve to be put in nidui and taken off your shoes as if you're a menuda. Menuda is also menilas asandal. So there are three parts to the chalitza. How much is miyakev? So there are different opinions in the Tanoim. We'll learn it. Bottom line, halacha l'maisa, we paskin only the chalitza sasandal. The rikika is not miyakim, and the kriyas apsukim is not miyakim. So what do you need it l'chatchila? If it's not miyakim, but yeah, but what do you need l'chatchila? So Tosfos says, because chalitza is a mitzvah, it's not just a matir. Because it's a mitzvah, let's say, Tosfos is talking about mikveh. If something is not a chatzitza, b'di'evet, if a person is tovel in a mikveh and he has some kind of an issue with a chatzitza, b'di'evet, it's not a chatzitza, it's muta l'chatchila. On the level of the rice. Maybe the midrabbanon, the it is a chatzitza, b'di'evet, it's not a chatzitza. But tefillah in a mikveh is not a mitzvah that you do in a mitzvah b'shlai musa. A get, what is a hida mitzvah to give a get on a golden piece of a gold? No, hida mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. A get is a matir. So how come you have a lachatchila the get should be written like this, but the evidence kosher like that? That's only midrabbanon. You can't have a lachatchila midrabbanon in a matir on the level of the rice. So Tosfos says, but by chalitza you do have lachatchila midrabbanon. So on the level of the rice, so that's a chacha, the chalitza is a mitzvah. So that's interesting. Chalitza is a mitzvah. Tosfos has proven it. The shaila is chalitza is a mitzvah even if the yavam is not interested in remarrying. The husband died at the age of 98, and she's 96. Not interested in remarrying at the age of 96. She's falling to pieces. She's not falling to pieces. Whatever. You're not interested in remarrying. So it's a mitzvah to do chalitza even if you're not interested in remarrying. But he's saying, no, if you're interested in remarrying, then chalitza is a mitzvah. You're not interested in that. So that's a machlokes achronim. Rabbi Zalcharev has a tshuva. I think it's the first tshuva in Emek Yoshua, in his Shabbos tshuvas. He quotes this tesis in Nida, that there is no such thing as l'chatchilim b'dieved on the level of deraisa in a matir, only in a mitzvah. So Tesis explains chalitza is a mitzvah. So he writes, Rabbi Zalcharev writes, if it's a mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah even if she's not interested in remarrying. But other achrenim, the Ishmael has a machlokes, and the Pesachim Tshuva says, even if your chalitza is a mitzvah, you can still say it's only a mitzvah if she's interested in remarrying. If she's not interested in remarrying, it's not a mitzvah. There was an incident in Broyes quite a few years ago, maybe 40 years ago, that a man died and he left no children. His wife needed chalitza. She was a younger woman, probably in her 40s. She was a younger woman, and she wasn't interested. Her husband just died, so she wasn't interested in remarrying that. So she waited quite a few years till she finally met someone. They were interested in marrying, so she needed chalitza. She was a religious woman, so they didn't consult their rabbanim. So they scheduled, it was soon before Pesach, so they decided they're going to do the chalitza, and then they're going to shtel a chuppah, they're going to get married, then they're going to go to the hotel together on Pesach. So when the rabbanim found that, they didn't know that she was going to get married, so they did the chalitza. Then she told the rabbanim that she has a boyfriend, she wants to get married. So the din is tavul in asim in espaisa tzichaleshiv shivin ekim. When you propose to a girl, we're concerned maybe there was dam chimut, so you have to wait shivin ekim. And even if the woman is 75 years old, she's a skena musalek as damim, the Gemara says the Pharisees still have to wait shivin ekim. Again, that's it, says the Gemara. So the question is, he already proposed to the girl. He already proposed to this woman. She was already in her 50s when they got married, probably. So he already proposed. Some of the poskim, many of the poskim say that's not called setting a date for the wedding. Kol zman, you didn't do the chalitza yet, so you can't get married. So you have to have the dam chimut is going to come after you're allowed to marry him. After you already have the chalitza, then it's called tavul inasi. So she had to wait shivin ekim, and they couldn't be together in the same bedroom because they got married. There was a chuppas nida because she had dam chimut, so they had to have two different rooms. It cost them twice as much money. Had to rent two different rooms in the hotel for Pesach. She should have, moral of the story is, she should have consulted the rabbanim in advance, and they would have done the chalitza a week earlier. She didn't know. She didn't know that there's an issue of dam chimut. So that's the mitzvah chalitza machlokes. If mitzvah machlokes, is there a mitzvah to do many pasul? Is a mitzvah to do chalitza even if the woman does not plan to remarry? So the pasuk says when you do chalitza, also yedim tahashar le'eni hazakenim. You see that you need a bezin. A bezin of how much? So sometimes you have a bezin of dinimamis, you have a bezin of 3. In the first you have a bezin of 23. Sometimes you need a bezin of gadol of 71. So how much of the bezin do you need? So the Gemara quotes it to machlokes hatanai. The Mishnah says mitzvah chalitza b'shloshet dayarim has to be done in the presence of a bezin of 3. And then the Brice and the Gemara quotes it, it's really a machlokes hatanai, whether 3 or 5. So the Gemara explains what does it depend on, whether 3 or 5. So the Gemara asks, Tanin lohad v'tan rabbana, it's into the Gemara, mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha, Rabbi Yonah b'chamisha. Machlokes are the bezna 3, bezna 5. Where do you come off to say 3 or 5? My Tanya Tanya Kama. Why does Tanya Kama say 3? The Tanya, it says in the pasuk, le'eni haskenim. Also, even tashara le'eni haskenim. So haskenim is rabim. Miud rabim shnaim. Zalka means eshekon chochma. A rav. and as kainim is plural, so you need two. And but we have a rule in Sanhedrin, you cannot establish a bezna with an even number of rabbonim. You always have to have an odd number. In case there'll be a split vote, so you're going to have an even number, so there won't be any hachrot. You have an odd number, so you'll be able to have a hachrot. So that's the rule in bezna shokel. So the Tanakam and Tanan, the Mishnah holds that chalitza needs a bezna of three. Because it says in the pasuk, also any has kainim is miyud rabim shnayim, and it can't be shnayim. So you say ein bezin shokol. So masi from alav voidechad. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says five. Why? So the Gemara explains because it says twice in the pasukim le'eni has kainim le'eni has kainim. So lifnei zikne hoyer. So it says zikne is miyud rabim shnayim. Le'eni has kainim is another miyud rabim shnayim. So it's four. And it can't be four ein bezin shokel. So you say you need a bezin of five. So that's the machlokes hatanim. How do we paskin halacha lemaisa? So the Gemara says on the base, Rabbi Yehuda himself backed out. Rabbi Yehuda himself backed out, and we paskin that it's really chalitza is bishnayim. However, the Gemara says we recommend that you should always have five. Why? Heading more towards the bottom of on the base, Kuf Aleph on the base, to around six, seven lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, they yes, the Amarayim, he should join as part of the Bezna. Why not have a Bezna five? Gemara says, Lama li chamisha? What do you need five for? Do we pass on halacha? All you need is three. You need the Tana Rav Yehuda backed out. The Gemara is going to prove it. Rav Yehuda backed out from his original sheet. The Gemara says, Mishum Pirsum. You need Pirsum. Yeah, why do you need pirsum by the chalitza? So the how do you know you need pirsum? How do the Gemara know? Because the pasuk also yivim to hashara, so the chalitza should be done in the shar ha'ir with as much pirsum as possible. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch the meaning is that you do chalitza in shul after shacharis. Everybody's in shul. I remember I daven in Broyers at that time. I used to daven in Broyers right across the street from me. So I daven shacharis, and then all of a sudden, middle of nowhere, they have a chalitza. I don't know what was going on. I remember Rabbi Schwab was misal chalitza. He hadn't done a chalitza in so many years. He was literally shaking. He was so nervous to make sure he doesn't make a mistake. And chalitza is not shaykh to make a mistake. Nothing, kemat nothing is ma'akid d'riyevi. He's not shaykh to make a mistake. I remember there's one of the older rabbonim did a chalitza. And he had an old Seder Chalitza. He had a Sefer that, like when you're Mesader Aget, you use the Svarim that tell you how to be Mesader Aget. So when you have a Chalitza, they have Svarim. So he was using an old one. All the pages were broken. And he dropped it on the floor. So when he picked it up, he put the pages back in the wrong order. And he didn't realize until afterwards. They did everything, but they did it out of order. So they said that, so the din is that the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Nyake. Even if he didn't say the Psukim, the chalitza is good. Even if you didn't do the rekika, it's good. The only thing that's makkah b'di'evit is the chalitza. Okay, so then everything was fine b'di'evit. But Shaila was, when he put the pages back together, he told me the story himself, when he put the pages back together, so before you start the chalitza, so the Yivama says, Me'en Yivami lahok m'shem b'Yisrael lo'yov ha'yavni, and he says, Lachavatzti lakachto, then you do the chalitza, and then she says, so the Gemara says, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that the Seder of the Chalitza is not Nyakeh. The Seder is supposed to be first you do Chalitza, then you do Rikika. So what if you did the Rikika first and then you do the Chalitza? So Bidyev, the Rikika is not Nyakeh at all. What is the Shadal Machatchila? They already did Rikika and then they do the Chalitza. Would we recommend they should repeat the Rikika? Well, you say no. So the Gemara said, the Seder is not Niyakiv. You already yotzei the Rikika. You won't gain anything additional by doing your Rikika at Tzvetamon. You already did the Rikika, you do. So the question is, just like the Seder of Rikika Chalitza is not Niyakiv, so maybe the Seder of Amiras HaPsukim is also not Niyakiv. If you said the Pasuk, Kochi Yosel Ish, by mistake, you said that in the beginning. And then at the end, you had the woman say, "Me'en yivam elohakim shemi," so he mixed up the pages. And then he realized right afterwards that he mixed it up. Should we tell the Yavama that she should say again the pasuk kacha yosalish? She said kacha yosalish before. If she's not going to say, it's not mi'akav b'yevet, but the shad is lechatchili, will you gain anything if she'll repeat the pasuk that she said kacha yosalish at the beginning? So believe it or not, this is a true ben abdenez on this maisel. The story that I heard happened in New York. One of the older rabbanim told me it happened to him. But the Avnaneza has a shayla. If he said the psukim out of order, so he says you're not yotze b'riyevi. The chalitz is good b'riyevi because the kriyas of psukim is amyaki. He says when you have a book, so you have a prologue and then you have an epilogue. You have a preface. The preface has to be in the beginning, and the conclusion has to be at the end. So if you put the me'en yivami has to be the preface, and kach yosalish has to be the conclusion. Even if you already said kach yosalish, you're not yotze b'diavad. If you did the rikika before the chalitza, you don't have to repeat the rikika. You don't get anything by repeating because you already did. You're yotze. The seder is not miyaket. The seder on Yom Kippur is miyaket. All the avodas on Yom Kippur, everything is miyaket. The seder, but the seder by the chalitza, the Gemara says, is not miyaket. But the Avnaneser thinks that the seder by the Miras HaPsukim is miyakev. It's not miyakev the whole chalitza. But if she said kocha yosalish before they started, and then they do the chalitza, and then we chapsach, and we realize that she said the pasuk in the wrong place, we would tell her to repeat again to say kocha yosalish at the end. So the Mishnah tells you these are the three parts to the chalitza. And you need pirsum. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is that we do the chalitza in shul right after shachris when there's a big crowd.
The brisket are Ashkenaz, so you mentioned that there's no chalitza by
Ashkenazim,
so why is this whole chalitza?
No, there's no yibum. We don't permit yibum because we're afraid that he's not doing it the Shem Shamayim. So we have to do chalitza. We have to do chalitza. She should be momentarily in Asil Ashuf. But we don't permit yibum in normal cases. And not Gemara. The Gemara there says the reason why we don't permit the yibum is because of Abba Shaul. Because Abba Shaul came up with the Chumra Midrabanan that we treat it as if it's the essay of yibum is Deicha, the Isser of Eishim Sach, and it's only Deicha if you do Aver of the Shema, you have to do the Shem Shemayim. So we're concerned that Bizman Hazeh, there's a Yeridus Adaris, maybe people aren't not doing the Shem Shemayim. So in the back of the Gemara, one of the Achronim quotes from one of the Tshuva Svarim, things the Maritz Chayes, I'm not sure. So one of the Achronim quotes from the Tshuva Svarim, there was once a Maisa Shoya, probably in the 1800s, 1700s, I don't know, that a man died, he left no children, and a brother had a crush on his sister-in-law, so he wanted to do Yibum. So the Rabbanim said, we don't allow you to do Yibum. So he went to court, and he's suing the rabbis for religious persecution. It says in the Bible, it's a mitzvah I should do, but they don't let me fulfill my mitzvah. So the rabbi is going to go explain to the judge, we're afraid he's not doing the Shem Shemayim, it's Chumah Rabban, it's not going to go. So the rabbi told the judge, it was a little village, so the rabbi told the judge, you know the guy who died? He said, yeah, they all know who he was. He was always running around with all kinds of women, and we're really afraid that maybe he had a child from someone else that we're not aware of. And the Mishnah says, "Mishesh lemei mechoma compared to esishtoi menachalitza menayim." If he had a child from any, unless he had a child from a non-Jewish woman or from a shivcha knaynis, then the vlad is not misyachas after him. But he used to—he was a womanizer. He was going around with married women or with single women. So we're afraid that maybe he had a child from someone else, and therefore it'll be an isurei shesach. So the judge said, 100%, I know him, and I would be concerned. So the one of the Achronim in the back says, a mitzvah lefarsem, that unfortunately, if you live in a generation with so much preach is going on, so that's an additional reason. Maybe you don't need Abba Shaul's reason. Abba Shaul came up with the whole reason with the Rabbanan, that has to be Lishma. Maybe even without that. I hope it's not the reason. Okay. So the Pasuk says that you need pirsum. Also, Yivim to Hashara is supposed to be Pirsum. Why do you need Pirsum? So then Mukiyesi quotes the two explanations from the Rishayim. You need Pirsum there's a Jewish newspaper in London that's called the Jewish Chronicle, I think. So they have on one page, they list off who got engaged and who got married and who had a baby and who got disengaged. They list off who got disengaged, who broke off that people should know. So the Mukiyesu says, we want to have Pirsum that people should know. She's Muteris, Linos, and Ashut. Wanted to get a Shidduch. That's one suggestion that you need Pirsum. Then he has up another. What's the other? I forgot already. What's the other suggestion? The other suggestion is she shouldn't marry a kohen. Everybody should know that she's a chalutza, so she shouldn't marry a kohen. Iname the license in she benik putzu aloh, that she announced that she's tumham, that people should marry. Okay, so we require pierce. So the Gemara says miikaradin we paskin like the Tana and the Mishnah, because even the Reb Yudah himself backed out that you don't need five. But lachatchila we require five. Mishum Pirsum, and that's why the meaning is you do it in shul after Shabbos to have more Pirsum. Yeah. Then the Mishnah says that the three Dayanim, our meaning is that when you have the five Dayanim, they don't sit in a row. The three sit in a row, and the other two sit at a right angle. So you know these are the three who are Dayanim, and the other two are the Noisofim. They're only there Mishum Pirsum. The Gemara has a L'chapa Nafkemina. The Gemara says you learn out from the Pasuk the Nikra Shmo B'Yisrael. Beis Chalutza now, so the Gemara has it in the Yisrael v'lo begerim, that the members of the Bezin can't be gerim. We're going to have to talk about that, exactly what's the definition of gerim over here. So the Gemara says the members of the three members of the Bezin can't be gerim, but the two nosofim can be gerim, because they're only there for Pirsum, they're not really part of the Bezin. So the meaning is to demonstrate that they're only nosofim, so they sit at a right angle to the Dayan. And then the Mishnah says that the three Dayanim that you have do not have to have smicha. Afilu shloshtem hev yoytes, you don't even need, even one of them has to have smicha. You don't need any smicha at all. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, that it's not necessary that they should have smicha. This is an exception to the rule. When you have a din Torah and knas, you have to have smuchim. Chutz l'aretz no smuchim, so it can be done. Din knasas bizman hazeh, din in the foshitz in it smuchim. That's not God, but you certainly need smuchim. So what's over here? How come over here you don't need smuchim? So this is a big machlokes of Rishayim. Is this the rule or is this the exception to the rule? What's the word? The bezin over here is not paskening anything. It's just the bezin l'kiyam adover. Like we have a concept of edus l'kiyam adover. When the chosin gives the ring over to the kala, so if no one is watching, even though he gave her a ring beino lebeino, and they both admit that they agreed to get married and gave her a ring, if there were no kosher eidim, so the kedushin is not chal. We assume the same is true by a get. Not all the rishonim agree, but we assume the same is true by a get. You have to have eidim, and if no eidim, even though they both know that it's true, the get is not chal. That's called Chaim Soloveitchik coined the term that's eidim l'kiyam adov. It's not chal. The kedushin is not chal unless you have eidim. So what's the story of the? It's a bezdin l'kiyam adov. It has to be done under the auspices of the Bezin. Even though the Yovam and Yivama both say that we went through the whole Seder HaChalitza, it's not kosher unless you have a Bezin. So the Shaila is, maybe a Bezin is Smicha Din and Bezin, or Smicha Din and Paskening. A person that does not have Smicha can't be a member of the Bezin. A person that does not have Smicha, his opinion is not considered a Psak. But over here, they're not going to Pasken anything. They're constituting a Bezin, just to supervise the chalitza, but they're not issuing any psak. So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Although the Soloveitchik has on the Rambam and the Sefer on the Rambam, and Rav Soloveitchik and the Yeshiva, when he learned, he also brought a whole bunch of rayas like Rav Elbaba, that there's a fundamental machlokes. The Rambam seems to hold explicitly that smicha is not a din in bezin, smicha is a din in paskinim. You can be a member of a bezin without smicha. Here, chalitza needs a bezin, but they're not paskening anything. So there's no need for any smicha here. But according to Rashi and Tosfos on Sanhedrin, they repeatedly have this. Rashi and Tosfos hold that smicha is not a din in paskening. If a person knows the din, he can pasken without smicha also. And if he does know the din, even if he has smicha, he can pasken. But smicha, according to Rashi and Tosfos, smicha is a din in bezin. So then, Chalitza is an exception to the rule. According to Rashi and Taisis, you need a bezna of three, and the bezna doesn't have to have smicha. So that's a gzeres hakasov, that the bezna of chalitza is an exception to the rule. According to the Rambam, it's not an exception, it's the rule. You can be a member of the bezna without smicha, as long as you're not paskening anything. Smicha, according to the Rambam, is a din in psak. So Rashi gives the explanation. What do you mean a din in psak? So he used to give a mashal. He says he loved the minchas chinuch. He said as a child he loved to learn the minchas chinuch. He finished the whole minchas chinuch said before his bar mitzvah. When his mother would tell him to go to sleep, so he used to read the minchas chinuch under the blankets. He was a disobedient child. He didn't go to sleep when the mother told him to, but he loved the minchas chinuch. So the minchas chinuch very often shows you whatever mitzvah he's talking, Egla Rufa, Chalitza, whatever mitzvah he talks about, he says, look over here, look over here, look over here. He raises a lot of issues. And every so often they say, I'm not going to go through the whole topic. Maramokam Anilach. I'm just giving you the outline where you look it up on your Maramokam Anilach. So then she gives to explain, according to the Rambam, that smicha is a din in psak, that if you don't have smicha, your psak is not called a psak. So, but the person is a big tamachacham. And he's giving, what do you mean? Nobody has any smicha today. Even though the yeshivas give smicha, so the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes the Bar Benel. One place in the whole Abba Chelka Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon quotes the Bar Benel in Yeruday and Hilchas Talmid Chachamim. That the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. Smicha has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, Ish Mipi Ish and Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was lost a long time ago, 1500 years ago. The smicha already ended. So nobody has any smicha today. That's a question, how are we going to reconstitute the Bez Nagoro? If nobody has any smicha, so how can you have a Bez Nagoro? The Gemara says that Yo Anovi would appear in front of the Bez Nagoro and identify who is Mashiach. Yo Anovi will come the day before Mashiach. Pasuk says, Hine Anecha Shalach Lachem Eseli Anovi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Hagoro Lahanoira. So the Gemara narrates and understands Lefnei bo yom Hashem means the day that Mashiach will come. Eliyahu HaNavi will come to the Bez Nagodim. He will tell him that tomorrow Mashiach will appear, and Pliny is the Melech HaMashiach. So where's there going to be a Bez Nagodim if nobody has any smicha? So how can you have a Bez Nagodim? So that's what motivated the Rambam. The Rambam writes in three different places. He thinks that maybe he can do Chiddush HaSmicha. Maybe if all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael gather together, maybe they can initiate smicha yesh meyayin, even though it's not yesh mepi yesh amosh rabbein. Because Rambam says he's bothered with this question. How is it going to be a Bez Nagodol? The smicha is dead. No one can have any smicha. That's a problem. So Rav Soldeish used to say, if a big tamachochem gives a psak, according to the Rambam, it's not called the psak because he doesn't have smicha. It's a pchina like maramokam aniloch, like the minchas chinuch. Let's say somebody asks me what the din is. I show him in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't have to give a psak. Say, read over here. Read the Beis Shmuel. Read the Pischa Tshuva. Read the Shach. I show him. I'm not saying a psak. I should take. I just mishuf the page for him and I tell him. So even if the Talmud Chacham gives a whole fantastic psak and it's all original, everything is original, it's a pchiner mar mokem aniyuch. If he has smicha, then it's called a hayroa. If he doesn't have smicha, the Ramah is not called a hayroa. So according to the Rambam, the fact that the bezin for chalitza doesn't have to have smicha is not an exception to the rule. That's the rule. A bezin that's not issuing a psak halacha it doesn't have to have smicha. That's how the Rambam holds by Geiris also. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Talk also Gemara in Yevamos earlier. Geir tarach shloisha mishpat ksidbe. When you makabel Geirim, it has to be under the auspices of a bezin of three. So Tosfos raises an issue, how we mekabel gerim is manazeh. Nobody has any smicha. So according to the Rambam sounds like that you never needed smicha to be a member of the bezin for geris. They're not paskening anything. We know what the din is. Before he goes into the mikveh, he's a goy gomer. And after he has milah, then he goes into the mikveh, mekabel al mitzvah, and then he becomes Jewish. But the bezin doesn't have to pasken anything. That is the din. He was born a goy, he's a goy. Then when he converts, he becomes Jewish. The bezin isn't issuing a psak. So according to the Rambam and the Rashba, there was never any need for a smuchim. Taisus came up with the chiddush. Rashi and Taisus hold that smicha is a din and bezin. So geris needs a bezin. So Taisus comes up with the assumption, with the chiddush, that in the days of the Tanoim and the Amoraim that there were smuchim around, so he needed a dozen of smuchim for ger. And Mizmana said that there are no smuchim, so we say shlichusayik abdinam. Just like in the days of the Gemara says, how can the Rabbanan and Bovel be koifa alaget? How can they force a man to give a get? How can paskan it in Torah? But you need smuchim. So the Gemara says, shlichusayik abdinam. The Rabbanim and Bovel function as shluchim of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael. Then the Rishonim had answered, what about this man who said, no Rabbanim, even in Eretz Yisrael, I have any smicha. So the Rishonim answered, shlichasar de kamoik avdinan. We considered as if a shluchim of the Talmid HaChachamim from 1500 years ago. How does that work? What do you mean? A Kohen makes a Yisrael a shliach to duchen for him. A Kohen makes a non-Kohen a shliach to be makor karbonis for him. That's what the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva said. How does that work? So the hezbe, maybe we'll get to it when we learn some more Yimam. There's a hezbe. So Tyson said, just like he said, Shlichusayu to be Kaifal Aget, just like he said, Shlichusayu to be Dandir Imamis, he said, Shlichusayu to be Makal Geremos. Tyson obviously thinks that this concept of Shlichusayu works on a level of the Raisa, not just a make believe din with the Rabbon. And the Rashbo disagrees with Tyson. What are you talking about? Shlichusayu is a make believe din, it's with the Rabbon. It's based on Hefke Bezna Hefke. It can work in Yisra'eta. And if the entire and the imamis, you can say shlichasai. But the rabbanan and the chachamim said that the psak is binding, even though they're not smuchim. But they can't say that a non-Jew becomes a Jew without a bezna of smicha. So that's the first, when you look in Chosh Mishpah, the first page, so the first comment that the Nesivus makes is that this is a fundamental machlekes Tosfos in the Rashbo, whether shlichasai is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. According to Tosfos, shlichasai kav din is a din deraisa. Because according to Tosfos, every bezin smicha is a din in bezin. It's not a din in psak. And mitzvah chalitza, bezin mar chalitza is a yotze. It's a yotze min haklal. It doesn't have to be smuch. According to the Rambam and the Rashbo, it seems smicha is not a din in bezin. It's a din in psak. So this is the rule: the bezin from chalitza, bezin of geris, but they're not paskening anything, so they don't have to be smuchim. Here is a famous Tosfos: ein bezin shokol. What's the reason why in Sanhedrin the Gemara is establishing how many members every bezin has to have? Din imamis, they need 3, and chalitz machlek is 3 or 5, and din nefashim they need 23, and bezin agali need 71. So the Gemara says when you're establishing what's the minimum number of dayanim, one of the klolim is ein bezin shokul. You can't establish that the bezin is an even number; it has to be an odd number. There is a Gemara in Horius, where the Gemara says the institution of Par Helam Dovish Al Tzibur. There's a din. Let's say somebody was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigik, has to bring a Chatas. What if the Roi Patzibur was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigik because the Bez Nagol made a mistake in Psak, and everybody follows the Bez Nagol? The chief rabbi had said it's Mutta. He printed in the papers it's Mutta. So everybody doing it, and then the chief rabbi backs out. They said, we made a mistake and everybody was Mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if 51% of the Tzibur violated the Aveira, Sheesh Bokoris, because of the mistake in Psaka, the Bez Nagadol, then the Bez Nagadol brings a Parhal and Dovashal Tzibur, and each and every individual person is off the hook. He doesn't have to bring his own. If less than 51%, if not Roiv, Yochid Shosabai Roiz Bezin, Yochid means not the Roiv of the Tzibur, even though it's not their fault, they were listening to the psak and the Bez Nagadol. So nonetheless, each and every person has to bring his own korban. So the Gemara says that din of Parham and Dovashal Tzibur, Bez Nagadol brings the korban, is only if the vote of the Bez Nagadol was unanimous. But if it was a split vote, and they went basarayv, so then there's no din of Parham and Dovashal Tzibur. So the Gemara has a lotion, afilu meyo. Even if there were 100 members in the Bez Nagadol, you need more than 71. So you really don't need 100 members. But yet there were 100 Rabbanim. If not all 100 agreed to the Psak, if 90 agreed and the other 10 disagreed, then there's no din of Parah and Dov Shel Tzibur. It doesn't apply. So all the Mefarshim ask, how can you have a Bezin of 100? The same Bezin Shokol? What happened to the rule of Ein Bezin Shokol? So they give different terutzim, and none of the terutzim are always gehalten. So So the only teretz, this type of says, the only teretz that's left, he quotes the Shar Mishpat on Chesh Mishpat, the only teretz that's left is that this rule, En Bezen Shokol, is not a rule, the Maiseh. Let's say you want to have a Din Torah, and there's a lot of money involved. Sometimes the Din Torah with millions of dollars involved. So they're afraid to have only 3 Dayan. They want to have 5 Dayan, want to have 10 Dayan, to make sure that that they give a correct psak. You want to make sure everybody keeps the other one in check. So is there anything wrong with having a bezin of 10 dayon? So that's what the Stipula quotes from the Shah Mishpat. Meikar Adin, there's nothing wrong. En bezin shokol is not a din when you're putting together a bezin. It's a din when you're darshaning psukim to establish what's the minimum number of a bezin. So that's a rule in darshaning psukim, en bezin shokol. When the psukim would appear that by chalitzim he the bezin of true, of two, zikainim, and he would rabim shnayim, well, he needed two, but that can't be. We're establishing based on the psukim what's the minimum number of dayanim you need, so you say ein bezin shokol. But once you know what the minimum number is, 71 for bezin gadol, you can have a bezin gadol of 100, there's nothing wrong with that. Bezin shokol is only then when, if you're a tana, and you're darshaning psukim, so the rule is relevant. The rule is not relevant for us. All the dinim were established already. So here, Taisus has 2 days. They said, what's the whole logic? What's the whole logic behind the din of Ein Bezin Shokol? In case there'll be a split vote, so they should, if you have an odd number of dayonim, so the odd man will be able to be machriya the psak. So Taisus is bothered with the question, but by chalitza, they're not paskening anything. They're just supervising the chalitza. They're not paskening anything. But when you do smicha on a parhal and dovish al tzibur, also the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, en bezin shokol. You need a bezin. But they're not paskening anything. They're just doing the smicha on the carbon on behalf of klal Yisrael. Why should it apply? By geiris. The bezin on geiris. The bezin is not paskening anything. They just have to supervise the geiris. If they'll have a shadow, they'll call Rabbi Moshe Feinstein on the phone. And they're not going to pasken on their own. So what do you mean? So Tosfos asked that kasha. So they give 2 answers, a major shayla. So one answer they give is, it's a funny answer. One answer they give is, the bezin shel chalitza, a shayla may come up in Hilchas Chalitza, they'll have to be machriya. They're not going to be machriya, they're going to call Rav Moshe. What do you mean they're going to be machriya? That's one suggestion Tosfos says. When you do smicha on the parah on the rosh of tzibos, and you need a bezin, if they'll have a shayla in Hilchas smicha, they'll pasken. So funny pshat. Then the other answer, the Oyesh Leimer, the last few lines in the Tais and Bezin Shokol. So the first answer is, if the Shaila will come up, they're the Balabatim to Pasken on the Hilchas Chalitz. Even though they're not the world's greatest scholars, but they'll have to Pasken. So therefore we say in Bezin Shokol. And the second answer they give, no, that's the rationale why you needed in the first place a rule of Ein Bezin Shokol, because you want to have an odd number of dayanim, in case there'll be a split vote. But once that's the din applies across the board. Even if you're dealing with a bezin where they're not paskening anything, that's a din in Hilchas establishing a bezin. When you're establishing what's the minimum number of dayanim that you need, so that when you're darshaning the psukim, so one of the rules is Ein Bezin Shokol. You have to have an odd number of dayanim, not an even number. Okay. That's how the Mishnah says. So then the Gemara has a question. You call them dayonim, shlosha dayonim, and then you say, afilu shloshtem hedyotis, even if they don't have any smicha, even if they don't specifically know how to learn. So why do you call them dayonim? Dayonim usually means that they're learned people. So the Gemara, that's the Gemara's question, right after the end of the Mishnah. Afilu shlosha hedyotis. If you say you don't have to have smicha, they don't have to be so learned either, at yaitis, so the Gemara is, dayanim lamali, why do you call them dayanim? And for the Gemara, they have to be a little bit learned, they have to act as if they're dayanim. Hokamash malon, the din is, in America this is often an issue, the din is that the kriyas ha-psukim is not miyakev. If they didn't say the psukim is not miyakev. But the Gemara says, "Kol she'ene roi lebila, bila me'akeres." Well, let's say the Yavam or the Yavama are mute; they can't talk. They're intelligent people by das. They're by mitzvah. They have to be gedolim. He has to be by mitzvah. She has to be bas mitzvah. But they can't talk. Ein medaber. So the Mara says, Cheresh Mechareshes can't do Chalitza because they can't do Kriyas HaPsukim. Either the din is that Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyakev. So the Gemara quotes that rule, Kol HaRoy Labi Labi Miyakev. Ain't Labi Miyakev is about Kol Shein HaRoy Labi Labi Miyakev. What it means is when you bring a Mincha Bolula B'Shemen, so you do Blila, you mix in the Shemen, you stir the Shemen with the Solas. And what if you poured in the Shemen and you didn't stir? So the Mishnah says, Menachos, Loi Balal is also kosher. If you pour it in the Shemen, you didn't stir it, but the Ebed, the Korban Mincha is kosher. A lot of things in Korbanis are only Lachatchila, but they're not Miyakeh the Ebed. What if you have so much solace in one Kli that it's impossible to stir? You have Samachalat Esron in the Kli Echot, and if you're going to start to stir, the flour is going to fall out. So the Gemara says, no. If it's Roy Labila, if it's physically, you're physically able to do Blila, you just didn't bother to do it, ain't a Blila me'akevis bo. But ain't Roy Labila, if it's too much, Samachalaf is Shem Mekleyacha, then Blila me'akevis bo. Then you're not yet. So the Gemara says, even though the Kriyas HaPsukim is not me'akev, but the Yovam and Yivam have to be physically able to do Kriyas HaPsukim. So a lot of Americans who are not religious, they know how to pronounce a ches. So he has to say, lo hafatzti lakachta. He's going to say, lo hafatzti lakachta. So that's no good. So you have to keep on knelling. You have to train them. They should really practice in advance. A lot of times they don't practice in advance, so they practice at the time. Say it again. He has to be able, even though the Kriyas HaPsukim is not Miyake, but he has to be royal to the Kriyas HaPsukim. So if he's not used to pronouncing Hebrew, you gotta train him to make sure that he's at least roi to the chatzil. You wanna have that he should pronounce the psukim. So the Gemara says the practice is that the dayanim are makri the psukim to the yovim. They say it. They say like by a wedding. A lot of times, the old rabbanim used to, European rabbanim used to say after me, areat mekudeshesli. So by the chalitza, we call them dayanim. Why? Because they have to act like dayanim. They say after me, lechafatzti lekachta. So that's why we call them dayanim. They're really not dayanim because they don't have smicha. They had yaitis, but we call them dayanim because they have to be makri. That's what the Gemara. Hakamashvelon, the bina b'shloisha shiodim lahakrois kei dayanim. They have to know how to tell the yovam and yivoma, recite after me this pasuk, and they say the psuk. Then the Gemara quotes the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Chalitza needs a Bezna 3 or a Bezna 5, that we did already. Then the Mishnah has, what's the definition of a shoe? What's the definition of a shoe? What's the definition of a shoe is relevant for Yom Kippur. Nilas HaSandal is also relevant for Tisha B'Av, relevant for one sitting Shiva. Irrelevant for a chalitza, it's all one din. So if you wear socks, even if you wear cloth socks, even if you wear thick socks, that's anpilya. So anpilya's chalitza sepsula. That doesn't count. Because a nal has to be something that's megin, protects the foot. What if you're wearing wooden shoes, or you're wearing sneakers? People walk around. There are certain countries where they walk with wooden shoes. People walk around with sneakers. A lot of people walk around. The sneakers protect, or with Crocs, other kinds of things. So that's a machlokes HaTanaim, whether that's considered a shoe or not. So it's a machlokes how we paskin. The bottom line, we paskin halacha that you have to have leather. If it's not made from leather, so it's not called a nal. So Rashi quotes the pasuk from Yecheskel chapter Tezayin. You look in the Rashi line, like the 15th line into the Perek. And the Rashi, where it says in parentheses, Yecheskel Tezayin, the pasuk describes the Ribbono Shel Olam taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. That's the birth of the Jewish nation. So just like you deliver a baby, and then the baby's all full of blood, so you wash off the baby, you put on powder, and you smear on oil, and you put on a diaper, and then the baby grows a little older, you buy shichalach for the baby. So the pasuk says, the Ribbono Shel Olam delivered the baby, and he took the Jewish nation out of Mitzrayim, and he washed them, and he clothed them. Ve'enolech tachash, and I put on nalayim, I put on shoes made from tachash. Tachash is an animal that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu they used Oros Tchoshim for the Mishkan. So that was hide, that was the leather from an animal. So based on that pasuk, that's why we pasuk like that Tana. It's only called a shoe because it says Enolech Tachash, I put on Nalayim. From Tachash it's only called a shoe if it's made from leather. So by Chalitza we're machmer that it has to be dafka made from leather. Rabbi Natam says later has to be or behema tahira, because tachash is a kosher animal. All the shoes that we wear are all horse leather, so the chalitza shoe has to be from a kosher animal. So that's why they have to make a separate chalitza shoe. Shouldn't be from horse leather. And then on Yom Kippur, that's what we discussed before. Yom Kippur, there is some poskim that Vilna Gaon or Rav Soloveitchik used to mention a long time. Some poskim recommend one should be machmer not to wear sneakers either. Anything that's megan, because there are some rishonim of poskim like the other Tana, that if you use wooden shoes, if you use sneakers, it's also megan, it's also called na'al, so it would be good for chalitza too, and it would be a violation of the ilas asandal on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says, bantulia is no good. Sandu shaleitz. What does it say? It says sandu shaleitz is good. Chalitzosik shera. It says a wooden shoe is good. So we don't really pass on like that. That's one Tana holds like that. It's going to be in this parak. We pass on like the other Tana. The Balamor paskin is like the Mishnah. We paskin has to be, and all the tachash has to be or, has to be from leather. But many are machmer and Yom Kippur. Maybe Nidlas Hasana and Kippur is an Issa deraisa. So maybe it's Gedai to be mach. Okay. We'll leave that in next week. We'll have to continue. It's interesting. The Gemara has a tradition. The Chumash, it doesn't really say it explicitly. Gemara has a tradition that the Mabel didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. Water spreads all over the place unless you have a wall. There's no wall separating Eretz Yisrael. So the whole Mabel was a miracle. The Chazal knew about the water cycle, that you get the rains and the water comes down and it evaporates, goes back up, comes back, comes down, goes up. But the Gemara and Tainus knew that there's a water cycle. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. If you put together that it should be 15 amas above the highest mountain, it's b'derech hatev, it's impossible. So the whole Mabel was an S. I mean, how can so many animals fit into one? All the animals in the zoo, how can they all fit into one table? The whole thing is an S. So this is also an S. The whole story of the Mabel is an S. That the Mabel affected the whole world, and the Gemara said it didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was already different from in Lech Lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next week, Seder HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and that's the Eretz HaNevcheres, and that's where you have the mitzvahs on Kliyos Baretz. But from the day number one, when the world was created, Eretz Yisrael was already something special. The Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael gevoy mikol ha'aratzos. The Psukim say when the brothers of Yosef were shuttling back and forth to Mitzrayim and to Eretz Yisrael, when Yosef is with Paro and they were shuttling back and forth, so it says v'yer de'acha Yosef asora. When you go to Chuzlo, it's called Yirida. When you go back to Eretz, it's Vayalu. When you go back to Eretz Kan, it's called Aliyah. Why is Aliyah? Why is Yirida? Because Eretz Yisrael gevoy mikol ha'aratzos. So what do you mean? Eretz Yisrael is taller than the Swiss Alps. It's not taller. Above the sea level, it's not taller than the Swiss Alps. What do you mean Eretz Yisrael gevoy mikol ha'aratzos? So the Baal Amor, then the Gemara says that Yerushalayim is gevoy mikol Eretz Yisrael. Because the pasuk says, ki polem imcha dov ala mishpa, min dam la dam, min din la din, min nega la nega, tibet riris b'shirach, v'kamta v'yolis alam abon. You should go up to Yerushalayim and ask the Bez Nagol, and every paskin is binding. So why is we come to be Alisa? Because Yerushalayim is Gevoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim, because Ein Itim is the highest elevation above the sea level in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Navi told him, no, Bink Seifab Shachain, a little lower. So don't build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim, build it in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says Yerushalayim is not the highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael. So what does the Gemara learn now from the pasuk? Eretz Yisrael is not the highest elevation above the sea level. The Alps is higher. And Yerushalayim is not the highest elevation. The Gemara says it's not the highest elevation. What does it mean? The whole thing is not true. So the Baal Amor in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav has the famous explanation. There's a very strange Gemara there. Rashi and Tosfos have a very strange pshat. So all the other Rishonim give the same pshat. The Gemara is talking about where the international date line is. When you keep on going east, so Shabbos begins an hour earlier, an hour earlier, an hour earlier. We keep on going west, Shabbos begins an hour later, hour later, hour later. So you're going to, the people going east and people going west are going to bump into each other. So what is it? Is it another hour earlier or is it an hour later? So you have to have a concept of an international dateline. So the Gemara there is talking about where is the international dateline. So the Baal Amor says, the Gemara knew that the earth is a globe. When you have a globe, so you have two hemispheres. So what are the two hemispheres? So we often distinguish between the upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere, above the equator, below the equator. Or we distinguish between the western hemisphere, where all of culture is, all of America, all the developments, all the chidushim, and the old hemisphere, the old world. So the Gemara also knows there are two hemispheres. But which is the upper hemisphere? What's on top and what's on the bottom? So we always visualize as if the North Pole is on the top. Maybe the South Pole is on top. Which is on top? No one falls off. You don't fall off when the North Pole is on top. So which one is on top? I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Maybe Scranton is on top. Maybe New York is on top. What's on top? So that's what the Gemara is saying. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Eretz Yisrael was on top of that hemisphere. And Yerushalayim is on the top of the top hemisphere. And that hemisphere goes 6 hours to the east and 6 hours to the west. 90 degrees to the east, 90 degrees to the west. So the dateline is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. That's what all the Rishonim said. The dateline cuts through Korea and it cuts through Australia. That's where the dateline is. Then he works out the details. But that's what it means. Yerushalayim gevaya mikol Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael gevaya mikol Eretz. It doesn't mean above sea level. Means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what did he hold on top? When the earth started to twirl on its axis, so what was on top and what was the first place where it became Vahiyere Vahiyvayke? So the first Seisach Kochavim was 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. That's the dateline that cuts through Korea. So the Gemara says, before Avraham Avinu came on the scene, Eretz Yisrael was already played a special role. Eretz Yisrael was on top. In the days of the Mabul, Eretz Yisrael was Nitzel. The Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara says. Then at the end of Parshas Noach, it says towards the next to the last pasuk, "Vayikach Teraches Avram Benanis Led Ben Harim Ben Benanis Sarai Kalos Eis Avram Benanis Vayitzi Itam Meyur Kazdim Lachas Arutz Kenon." Why did he want to go to Arutz Kenon? So some Rishonim say he felt drawn. Like a magnet, he felt drawn to Eretz Yisrael. He sensed that there's some kind of kedusha there. Other Mefarshim say, no, the Mabul destroyed the whole world, and there was green grass. There's fresh air. There's green grass. There are no dead bodies. The rest of the world, there were dead bodies scattered all over the place. That's why made the Rabbanon. They made a din. Tumas Eretz Amim. All of Chutz Lartz Metame like a big cemetery. A Kohen, strictly speaking, is not allowed to live in Chutz Lartz. He's like living in a cemetery. The problem today, why the Kohanim don't go to Eretz Yisrael. So they give a shver terutzim. But in the Gemara it says the Kohanim have to move to Eretz Yisrael, they're not allowed to live in Chutz Lartz. So some of them, the Farshim HaChomish say, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because the air was fresher, because the Mabul didn't affect. No, they're saying, no, not only that. He sensed that there's something spiritual in Eretz Yisrael, but he only went so far. He started to go, Vayavoy Adchor Vayeshvusham. The original plan was, he said, he was going to go all the way to Eretz Canaan, and then he didn't. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam encourages Avraham Avinu, go weiter, go to the Eretz HaNevcheres, go to the Makam HaMekudesh. So Eretz Yisrael had special status even before Avraham Avinu comes on the scene. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu, he tells him, Kul Misalach Baratz L'Okra L'Rach Bukir L'Choy Tineno, he gives him Eretz Yisrael as a matana. And that matana is different from all other matanas. That's the first Rashi and Chumash. The Umas Olam say, listen at them. They say the Jews stole Eretz Yisrael. We stole Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs. It doesn't belong to us. I remember Rav Soloveitchik used to say in public, I think I read that in the New York Times yesterday. Rashi says, listen at them. That's every year they keep on saying. Go to the Nine Nations. Year after, listen at them. We're Gazlan. So what's the answer? The Rebbe Shalom gave us Eretz Yisrael. So what he gave the Eretz Yisrael, but it was taken away from us. We lost our ownership. The Gemara in Gittin learns out from Psukim and Daf Lamaches, there's an international principle of Kibush Muhammad. Even if the Isser, if Russia takes over Ukraine, even if they took it over the Avera, they acquire ownership. If a Ganav, private Ganav, steals from someone else, he doesn't acquire ownership. But if one nation goes to war with another nation, so the nation who wins, that's an institution, a Kibush Muhammad. So that's what the Chazal say. Eretz Yisrael is the one thing in the world that's not subject to Kibush Muhammad. It's an exception to the rule. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to Avraham Avinu, he made a bris. And a bris is like, the Ramban writes, a bris is like a shvua. And the shvua means, I'll call upon him under all circumstances. We never lost our ownership over Eretz Yisrael. Many people have the attitude as if we have to be makatayva to the British, that they gave Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Solovey said, what do you mean makatayva? It never belonged to the British. The British were gazlanim. We don't have to be makatayva to anybody. It always belonged to the Jews. We never lost our kinyan. The Rambam has a lashon that the Kedusha B'Shoina on the days of Yeshua Benun was accomplished like the Kibush V'Chiluk. By conquering the land took 7 years, and then Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush, and that was the Mekadosh. So because it was based on Kibush V'Chiluk, so when Eretz Yisrael was taken away from the Jews, so the whole Kedusha disappeared. Kedusha B'Shoina was bottled on the days of Nebuchadnezzar. But the Kedusha Shnia was not like the Kibush V'Chiluk, so that was Kitchel Osilov. So what did create the Kedushin Shnia? So the Rambam says he uses the lashon Chazoke. What does it mean, Chazoke? So Rabbi Zalman, in his Sefer Eben Ozel, he understands Chazoke means Kinyan Chazoke. What do you mean Kinyan Chazoke? So he understands that the Jews lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 7 years of Golas Bavel, and then the Rebbe Shalom gave us the right to make a Kinyan Chazoke. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that that was terrible to say like that. He said, like the Chazanish, the Jews never lost their ownership. From the days of Avraham Avinu, was Tom Kum Haas, Kulim Salharas, and Chokal Rachma Kilachoet Tineno. From that day on, it always belonged to the Jewish people. It is not subject to Kibush Muhammad. Even if it's taken away, it still belongs to the Jewish people. So that's Eretz Yisrael had a prominent role from day number one, when the Rebbe Shalom created the world, and through the Mabul. Then Avraham Avinu acquired ownership, and then in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, they endowed Eretz Yisrael with the Kedush.
We're going to drop a fire right now.
Thank you.
Ask everybody when you're finished. Put the bars in the front.
Shalom Aleichem. So good to see you. I wanted to ask you a question. You said that by. Just like by Melitza, you don't need a Bezdin, you just need somebody, because it's not that I'm not asking you to do. So the same thing by you.
Excuse me a bit, but I have a question.